You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Balls, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here on today's show. It's another day, another show, and another opening segment with bad Tennessee football news. As Tennessee announced on Tuesday evening that Tennessee's top pass rusher, Kevon Bennett, has been dismissed from the team. I'll explain that coming up here in just a moment. That's going to be the leadoff to today's show, as the timing is really bad with Florida coming to town on Saturday. We'll get to that, and then you will hear from Eric Gray, as there is the question about Tennessee's mindset. His answers here in the first segment, I think, will make you feel better about the players who will be playing in the game, their mindset going into the final 3 weeks of the season, Florida, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. We'll get to that in segment number one. In segment number two, I'm going to talk to Austin Price of VolQuest.com about the latest in Tennessee football recruiting with a couple of decommitments here in the last week. I'll get Austin's reaction. Also, there is a new season opener for Tennessee basketball. I will tell you about that before the show ends. It's right here on Locked On Vols. The show is here 5 days a week. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And as I mentioned a moment ago, news came out on Tuesday evening that Tennessee has dismissed Kevon Bennett, a senior outside linebacker defensive end, because of an arrest on Tennessee's campus on Tuesday morning, and he was arrested on drugs and weapons charges. Jeremy Pruitt put out a statement saying, quote, Kevon Bennett has been dismissed from our football program following a traffic stop earlier today. There is a standard our student athletes are expected to uphold at Tennessee, and today's incident fell well short of that standard. As I read from WATE.com, quoting the arrest report, Bennett was pulled over for speeding on Neyland Drive Tuesday morning. When the officer made contact with him, he smelled a strong odor of marijuana coming from the vehicle. Bennett told the officer there was marijuana in the vehicle, and when asked if Bennett had any weapons in the car, he told the officer that he had a Glock 17 under his driver's seat. Bennett was charged with possession of a firearm with intent to go armed, possession of Schedule 6 drugs with intent, unlawful possession of drug paraphernalia, and prohibited from possessing a firearm under state federal law. According to the report, the officer found around 44.9 grams of marijuana, a digital scale, 58 plastic baggies, and a Glock 17 9mm handgun. Not what you want to see. So Kevon Bennett is gone, and this is a player who led the team in tackles for loss and tied for the team lead in sacks the week you play Florida, which has one of the best passing attacks in college football. Call me crazy, but it feels like the season is slipping away from Tennessee. Tennessee has a 5-game losing streak. Tennessee is a huge underdog against Florida. Tennessee just lost a big commitment. We'll talk about that in segment number two. And now one of Tennessee's most important defensive players is off the team. There's no way to sugarcoat this. This is obviously bad for Tennessee. Now, there is an opportunity for other players to step up. DeAndre Johnson will have to help lead the way. Roman Harrison will have more of an opportunity. You have freshmen like Tyler Barron and Morvin Joseph, Bryson Eason potentially, who could factor in. But Bennett has been Tennessee's best pass rusher, I would say, over the course of this season. Now he is gone, going up against a Florida offense that can throw it all over the place, and I don't have to keep going to explain why this is bad for Tennessee and why this hurts Tennessee's already, I would say, low chance of being able to compete with Florida heading into this upcoming weekend. So we'll see what this means for Kevon Bennett legally, but as far as his status with the Tennessee football team, he is gone, and Tennessee will have to play defense without him this week. So bad news coming out here in the middle of the week ahead of Tennessee's game against Florida. Now, there is the conversation of the game because it's going to go on, and there has been the question of what is the player's mindset, what is the player's attitude heading into this game and the final few games of the season. If you look around college football, you've seen a number of opt-outs. To this point, we have not seen that with Tennessee, which Eric Gray talked about. The players continuing to fight to try to have success on the field with right now 3 games remaining in the season.
I mean, like you said, you haven't seen a lot of the opt-outs that you've seen at other schools, and that just shows the mindset of our team. That shows that we're in it to win it. We're all in it together. Everyone's in it together. We just want to go out here and we want to flip the script. We want to flip the script and we want to get this train back on the tracks and keep going forward. We want to make sure we're doing everything, preparing each week the right way so we can go out there and put our best foot forward.
You love to hear that from Eric Gray, and Gray, we should point out, is one of Tennessee's best players, and he's playing really well. I would say that overall, he's having a good time with what his role is in the offense, as he's gotten the ball a lot, and he's made the most of a big opportunity, but he also wants to win, he wants to have success, and I do think it's true that players are out there playing hard. Look at the Auburn game. Tennessee played hard. Tennessee was trying to win the game. Tennessee just didn't play well enough, and Tennessee needs to be better on the field, and I can't sit here and say that if Tennessee's down 3 touchdowns against Florida that you're going to see the same level of effort in the second half, because we've seen lapses this season. That second half performance against Kentucky was really concerning with the way that players responded on both sides of the ball. So this is not to sit here and guarantee that Tennessee's, one, going to play well, two, going to play hard throughout if things do get tough. But right now, considering everything that's gone on with extra bye weeks thrown in and the team not winning, and you kind of wonder what the team is playing for, and you hear rumors about the coaching staff and wondering about the locker room, I don't think that this is a team full of fiery leaders. I don't think that's why players are still bought in. I think they're still bought in because they want to try to play better and they want to have better results. And overall, I would think that there's a pretty good connection with the coaching staff. Great. How could it be considering Tennessee is 2-5 right now? But if you're wondering, okay, now that they had another break and they're coming off a disappointing loss to Auburn, are the players still going to go out there and fight? My guess is yes. I think that Tennessee's going to go out and play hard. Tennessee just, again, needs to play better. By the way, what has it been like for the players as they've had 2 games in the last 5 weekends? What has that been like for the players? Here's what Eric Gray said when he met with the media on Tuesday.
You know, it's tough not to be out there playing, watching all these guys play and not being able to play. But it has also been a great way for people to, get back fresh, get back healthy, you know, playing this SEC schedule. Some guys getting banged up. So to be able to get back fresh, and those guys that are in contact tracing, they're still being able to, you know, work out a little bit on their own and still be ready to, they come back on Friday to be ready to play on Saturday.
Tennessee running back Eric Gray, and I think I mentioned that on Tuesday's episode, which you may or may not have listened to, but it is worth repeating that if you are in quarantine right now because of contact tracing, you can still work out, you can still get ready. It's not all the same thing as if you're out of quarantine, obviously, but it's not like you're dealing with an injury that keeps you from being able to do anything physically. So if guys are out last week or this week, and they're hoping to play on Saturday, they can still do things to physically get ready for the game, and then we'll see what the coach's level of trust in those players would be. And, of course, it depends on who we're talking about. But I guess we can say pretty confidently that Eric Gray, DeAndre Johnson, and Josh Palmer are not the players in quarantine as they met with the media on Tuesday. And something else that Eric Gray talked about is something that we've talked about over the last month now, and that is that players are having a chance to get extra work. It's not an extra fall camp, but when you talk about these bye weeks, some of the work that they do probably is like what they're doing in August, or in this case, September, leading up to the start of the season. So extra work for young players, and it's been a weekly conversation. Will young players like Jimmy Callaway or Malachi Wideman get more of an opportunity? We saw Callaway and Jimmy Holiday in Tennessee's most recent game not playing big roles, and I don't think anybody really expects that. I think people are looking for more time for those guys on the field, and I'm sure they are too, and maybe we'll see that on Saturday when Tennessee plays Florida. And then, of course, there was the conversation around the quarterback position, and more practice time means more reps for Harrison Bailey, a guy that 2 months ago hadn't really practiced much, especially with the first team guys. I guess he probably hadn't taken any reps with those guys, and now he's had more of an opportunity to do that. That should have Harrison more ready, and that's why on Monday, when Jeremy Pruitt talked about Bailey, he said, you know, the playbook was fine because he's probably had more time to deal with it. So when that question was brought up, Jeremy Pruitt talked about his opportunity in practice and showing some leadership and showing more confidence on the field, which should allow teammates to be more confident in Harrison Bailey. And I would also say realistically, over the last few weeks, they've probably wondered if he would get more of an opportunity. And they saw him come in late against Arkansas and come in late against Auburn. So players have seen more of him on the practice field. They have seen him a little bit in games. And I still think there's a good chance they see him on Saturday when Tennessee takes its first offensive snap against Florida. I know fans are hoping to see that too. Fans probably didn't enjoy hearing about Terrence Lewis's decommitment on Monday night. I'm going to come back and ask Austin Price his thoughts on that news and just where things stand with Tennessee in recruiting with 2 weeks to go until the early signing period. That's coming up next right here on today's show. Today, it's presented by Coors Light. You can get the brand new look Coors Light at your door, delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. And when you think about Coors Light, you're thinking about a great beer that is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged to sit back and chill with while you're watching whatever sporting event. College basketball is going on through the week. We have football, college, and pro coming up each weekend, this weekend included. And Coors Light is a great beer to enjoy while you're watching sports, whether we're talking about your favorite team or another team. And if you're watching your favorite team, maybe you need a Coors Light to go with it. From Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado, Coors Light is the beer that is literally made to chill. So if you are looking for that moment to unwind, how about doing so with a nice cold Coors Light? When you want to hit the reset button, grab a Coors Light. And like I said, you can get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. That's get.coorslight.com. And remember to celebrate responsibly. And if I'm talking about trying to hit the reset button, you still have to get through your day. You still have to get through your work week. How about doing so with the Built Bar? It's the best tasting protein bar ever. I love my Built Bars. I love the different flavors that I've been able to try out. Salted caramel has been one of my recent favorite flavors. Peanut butter and peanut butter brownie were my first two favorites. They have mint brownie. They have caramel brownie. That's one of the newer flavors that is available. Go to BuiltBar.com and you'll see all the amazing flavors they have. They include nut and non-nut flavors. All the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. And it's important to note, they're a healthy option for you. Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber. I love my Built Bars for a middle-of-the-day snack. Go to BuiltBar.com and check out all the flavors, and remember to use promo code LOCKEDON. That will get you 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. I want to welcome in Austin Price from VolQuest.com. You can read his work there, covering Tennessee football recruiting, at Austin Priceless on Twitter. Austin, I appreciate the time. And the big recruiting news early in the week was Terrence Lewis announcing his decommitment, a highly touted linebacker who had been committed for most of the year going back to the spring. What did you think when you heard that news, and that followed Demaryius McGee announcing his decommitment late last week?
Yeah, I mean, I thought McGee was by far the bigger of the two news from Tennessee's side. I mean, I get that, you know, Terrence is rated a little bit higher, but, you know, I think from an important standpoint, you know, a 6'1 corner is, and a guy that, you know, Tennessee really coveted a lot, is more important than you know, another inside linebacker. Tennessee's a little bit deeper at that position than they are at corner. So, in my opinion, like, the loss of Lewis definitely stings. But, you know, had you asked Tennessee fans or anybody really that's followed recruiting back before the first football was kicked off in late September, who's most likely to not be in this class come December, I think everybody would have said Terrence Lewis, just because he constantly is all over the Twitter and he's flirting and he's loving, you know, oh, Nebraska, oh, Texas A&M. He gets real excited about all that Twitter love.
Yeah, somebody, a friend of mine texted me and asked, has he decommitted before? And I actually had to pause and think to make sure that he hadn't actually decommitted. He had just, you know, tweeted out different stuff, and that's probably why you're right. The issue would, I guess, be combining the two. That's no good. But then the follow-up that I'm sure fans wonder is, well, could something else happen? And part of that might be what happens on the field, right? But what do you think about where things stand with other commitments, as after Lewis announced his decommitment, a bunch of committed players reaffirmed their commitments on Twitter? Caden Salter did it again, and then other players as well.
Well, I think if you're a leader in the class and you plan on signing with Tennessee, that's the right move, because you want to show solidarity and show that this is not about to be mass exodus. I will say this. I do think there'll be more decommitments over the next, you know, week or two. And that's just because I think Tennessee ultimately was going to be trying to find some room anyways for this class. Tennessee had at the one point had 26 commits. They were going to have to lose some anyways. But with the one-time transfer waiver likely coming into effect after the first of the year, Josh, it makes sense to leave a spot or two open for a potential transfer quarterback, transfer linebacker, pass rusher, cornerback, tight end, or any spot of need.
Yeah, how is managing numbers right now for the coaching staff? What's that like, considering all the unknown of 2021? Plus, Tennessee has a large number of commitments currently, even with the two most recent decommitments.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the numbers always work themselves out, you know, but at the same time, you know, this is a different year. This is during a pandemic. This is kids can't take visits. So, like, you know, it to me, it behooves Tennessee, if you're going to move on from a kid, for that to happen in the next couple of days, because you're now, you know, at Wednesday, you know, which is, you know, 2 weeks out from the first signing day. So that's we're getting, you know, as the old Apollo 13 line, the earth's getting bigger in the window, and you know, we're getting down to you know, crunch time.
Maybe the question is, do you even know how to answer this question? But in terms of stacking odds for starting quarterback next year, would you go Harrison Bailey is the favorite for that? You have Caden Salter is going to come in, and you mentioned the possibility of a transfer quarterback. Tennessee could look at that market. How would you kind of weigh those odds for 2021 at quarterback?
Well, I mean, I don't think you could weigh the odds. I think, you know, it would be a bet that's not allowed to be, you know, the odds wouldn't be allowed.
Keep that one off the board right now?
Yeah, I think it would totally be off the board, because Harrison Bailey's not played enough to warrant being any kind of favorite. Now, if he plays well the last 3 weeks, you know, I think then he would be, you know, pigeonholed the favorite heading in. But, you know, Salter will be here in January, so he'll be able to go through spring, providing we have a spring. And I think that, you know, this is a quarterback spot in the quarterback room that'll look a lot different come next August.
Austin Price of VolQuest.com, that's where you can read his work. You can catch him on The Nation on the Sports Animal on Sunday evenings alongside Chris Lowe. How important do you think will the next 2 weeks be? I say the next 2 weeks because that's before signing day begins on December 16th. How important will they be for what recruits are paying attention to?
Well, I think they'll be important. I mean, Tennessee obviously needs to show a better product on the field. You hate to say it, but I mean, like, you know, they're not going to be favored. They're definitely not favored this weekend. They're not going to be favored next week against Texas A&M. And Vanderbilt, while they look like they were starting to kind of mesh well a couple of weeks ago, looks like more of a dumpster fire now, with more people opting out. And they fired Coach Mason. They lost 41-0 on the road at Missouri. In my opinion, you know, Tennessee needs to find a way to do something they've not done, which is play a close game against one of these rival games. You know, can they play Florida close? You know, every time, you know, they've went out there over the last couple of years, Tennessee's either won a close game or got beat by 21+. There's not really been an in-between.
What do you think are the chances that Tennessee responds this weekend? Could Harrison Bailey be some kind of spark plug to help Tennessee with that on Saturday?
I don't know. I mean, we're going to find out how important, you know, having an older quarterback who sets protections and changes some stuff in the run game, you know, is for Tennessee. Because Tennessee goes up there and they run it well Saturday, then, you know, in theory, you could have, you know, run similar, you know, the game plans you run against Auburn and Arkansas. Those were game plans where Harrison could have already been starting. And honestly, I go back to what I've said for the last couple of weeks, and that's if Jeremy Pruitt had started Harrison Bailey post-Kentucky, post the multiple, you know, pick sixes against Kentucky, the anger and angst among fans – they'd be still there a little bit, but it would not be near what it is. And I think that Tennessee fans are, you know, have honestly, they're so tired of Jarrett Garantano that they're just now transitioning that frustration from Jarrett Garantano over to Jeremy Pruitt, because Coach Pruitt continues to send number two out there, but that won't be the case this week.
I'm talking to Austin Price of VolQuest.com. We'll come back and continue the conversation, just talking about how this season has gone and also some of the top names to still pay attention to with what the Vols are trying to do in recruiting over these next few weeks. We'll get to that coming up right here on Locked On Vols. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. How wild is the swing in the conversation from what we would have talked about with Tennessee football after 2 weeks of the season to what we're talking about right now with everything, recruiting, the play on the field, the coaching staff, all of it?
Well, it's dramatic. I mean, you go back and, I mean, the fans right now are really frustrated with Coach Pruitt. You know, they got frustrated with Coach Jones because, you know, he never would, you know, take the loss, take the blame himself. He would blame players. He'd blame other coaches, you know, and they got frustrated with that. Well, Coach Pruitt's the exact opposite. He comes out there every week if Tennessee loses and he places blame on himself. Now they're tired of hearing that. So now this is a fan base that just wants to win, Josh. They want to turn the corner. They see other teams able to do it. They've not been able to do it. And so I think that's the biggest frustration is it's, you know, over a decade of building up to this point. So now their patience on people or players is just so razor thin. And so that's why you've seen such a switch from being 2-0 and having the lead in Athens, Georgia, even if that was a bit of fool's gold, and where they're at now.
What do you think is most important to know about the undecided targets out there? Nylon Green's been a big name, Tywan Malone. Tennessee still looking for linebacker help, even more so maybe, I guess, with Lewis decommitting. What's important to know there? And I guess if you want to include that, Lewis and McGee both saying that they'll still consider Tennessee, how much do you factor that in?
Well, I think you have to factor it in. Tyon Evans did, and he's already back in the fold. So I think you definitely factor it in, and I think the longer that the McGee recruitment goes, the better. I think if he were to sign early, it probably favors a team like LSU. If he waits till February, I think Tennessee's got a real shot there to win him back in the end. You know, that's a kid that hasn't taken a lot of visits. In fact, he's taken zero visits. So he's not been anywhere and kind of burst onto the scene during COVID and all that kind of, you know, the recruiting right now is just kind of different than what it normally is. So, you know, for those uncommitted guys, I mean, Nylon Green is, you know, a guy that Tennessee wants really bad, but he's been all over the map. This is a guy that was going to put out a top five for about 5 months and never would do it and then finally did it. And then he was going to commit in the month of November, and yet we're here in December. So, you know, that one I still think would probably be Georgia if I was a betting man. You know, but I think Tennessee and Clemson are fighting right there in it. And then, you know, Tywan Malone hasn't been down here. And you know, again, it will be a weird recruitment from a standpoint of, you know, he's wanting to play baseball and football, hadn't taken any visits. How's that going to play out over the next month before he announces his pick?
Hey, last thing I'll get you out of here. Is there a kind of under-the-radar prospect in this class? Do you think the coaching staff is really glad that it was able to find and get committed? Is there a player or two, if you want to throw out a couple of names, that might be kind of under the radar for 2021?
Well, when he committed, Demaryius McGee was under the radar. I mean, you know, I think he was a two-star on Rivals. He was a three-star on 24/7. Then all of a sudden they bumped him to a top 100 player, and then, you know, with the latest rankings coming out, he's going to be a top 250 player for Rivals. And then Deshaun Rucker, I think Tennessee's very high on him. They like him a lot. The, you know, the nickel safety from Tallahassee.
Yep. They need some help on that side of the ball for sure. Find his work, VolQuest.com, and you can hear him on Sundays, as I mentioned, on The Nation, on The Sports Animal, Austin Priceless on Twitter. Austin, I know you're really busy with everything going on with Tennessee. Thanks so much for taking some time.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it, buddy.
Before I wrap up today's show, I want to mention the news that Tennessee has a new season opener in basketball. With the Vols having to cancel games last week and this week, they wanted to do their best to make some of those up. Tennessee has added a game against UT Martin for December 9th. So that is coming up a week from today, today's show being the December 2nd episode. So next Wednesday, Tennessee will open the season against the Skyhawks. Tennessee will host UT Martin with a tip-off set for 7 o'clock Eastern time. The game will be streamed on SEC Network Plus, and then the Vols will play 3 days later against Cincinnati. So Tennessee has made up one of the games that were lost due to the cancellations, and this is, of course, pending everything working out over the next few days, but Tennessee is planning to be back at full speed by this weekend and then continue and pick things up to get ready for an opener next week. And that game is important because Tennessee needs to get as much work in as they can. They didn't have a normal preseason. They didn't have scrimmages against other schools or exhibition games, and they have a lighter non-conference schedule to try to build chemistry and work things out and figure out rotations, all those things. So playing next Wednesday's game, I think, will be important, and I'm sure Tennessee will do more work to try to add another game or two, if possible, to the schedule for this upcoming season. So I'm finishing with, I guess, a positive note. One more Tennessee basketball game for you to look forward to coming up in a week, December 9th, at home against UT Martin. And coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll spend more time looking ahead to the Florida game, which will only be a couple of days away by the time we get to tomorrow's show. And I'm sure you're going to hope going in that there is not any more negative news to add to the Tennessee conversation, as the Kevon Bennett news is just bad news, and the Terrence Lewis news with him decommitting, not real positive yesterday either, although he's not completely lost. There's still time to try to make that up and get him to sign with the Vols. Same with Demaryius McGee. I promise Tennessee staff is going to work on that. But they also have to work on trying to find a better result on the field on Saturday and over these next few weeks. Thank you again for being here on today's show. Locked On Vols is here 5 days a week. Keep spreading the word to other Tennessee fans. Thanks to everybody who has passed the word along or rated and reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts. It's a big help, I promise. I'll see you tomorrow right here on Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.